Well, it's great to be here this morning, and I thank you so much for coming. And I also want to thank Pastor Anderson and the staff for all the hospitality. And it's an honor to be here and to preach behind this pulpit here. And I just want to get right into it because I have a lot of notes here. So the title of my sermon is The Death Penalty Versus Murder. The Death Penalty Versus Murder. So look down at your Bible at Matthew chapter 15, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." So here we have Jesus Christ quoting the Word of God, which of course he is the Word of God, but he's quoting the Bible from the Old Testament and saying that it's a capital crime to curse your father or mother. And this is one of the more extreme things that people would say. This is extreme in the Bible, right? People modern day, because obviously we don't have the death penalty in this country for cursing your father or mother, or there'd be a lot of dead kids around this country today. But doesn't mean that this is not a legitimate commandment by God. And basically the reason why I'm preaching this morning, I know that a lot of people probably already understand this concept, but right now there's a faction of haters that hate our type of preaching, hate our type of pastors, and they're going around and they're saying that we're inciting violence when we preach the death penalty, when we preach against the sodomites. And I honestly, I'm kind of sick of Pride Month right now. I'm pretty much over it, but this is probably the last Sunday for Pride Month this month. So I'm not necessarily preaching about, you know, the sodomites as a whole, but I'm preaching about the fact that the Bible does teach that there is a death penalty, and there is also something called murder in the Bible. And the Bible makes the difference for that and tells us what the difference is. And we obviously, in this room, probably most people understand this concept, but a lot of people out in the world don't. But what I think is that they're intentionally trying to twist what we say to make it seem like we are inciting violence, because the next thing that they want to do is they want to try to get us on some kind of technicality where if we preach this truth, you know, and obviously none of us believe that you should act on your own account, or we should be vigilantes and go out and carry out vigilante justice against people that deserve the death penalty. We've never taught that. I've never taught that. I know Pastor Anderson doesn't teach that. So I kind of want to preach this sermon for that reason, because I want to make it very clear today what we believe. And, you know, there's people there that are, I want to caution people to not go too far. Don't go past what the Bible says in our beliefs. So let's turn over to, Exodus chapter 20. I'm just going to read for you while you're turning over there. Mark chapter 7, verse 10. Mark chapter 7, verse 10 says, "For Moses said, Honor thy father and mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death." So here's Jesus another time in a different gospel saying the exact same thing. So do you think that Jesus agrees with the death penalty? Yes or no? Why would he quote this scripture if he actually didn't believe it? Of course he believes it. He's the Word of God. He's the one that came up with it. So obviously he believes this. Now, I'm sure that in Old Testament Israel, this was a very rare case where someone would actually curse their father or mother. And, you know, they're probably saying like, "Hey, mom and dad, go to hell," or, you know, that kind of curse, or maybe just, you know, because people think cursing is cussing. That's a whole other sermon topic that's kind of gone out recently. But anyway, I'm not preaching about that today. But throughout history, the death penalty has been a standard form of punishment in the world. Ancient times, it's always been, and it always should be, a standard, because what happens when you stop having the death penalty for capital crimes? Well, crime runs rampant. And what do you know? Crime is running rampant today, isn't it?
Right.
And so when you don't have the death penalty enforceable or being enforced, this world is going to wax worse and worse. The Bible says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse as we draw towards the end times. You know, and when they say, "Hey, let's abolish the police," you know, and in some terms, I agree that the police shouldn't have this ultimate power that they've had. But honestly, you know, if we don't have anything protecting anybody from crime, then some, you know, it's going to get worse. We see what it's like now. I mean, you can't even park your car somewhere without some hobo trying to steal your catalytic converter or something. So anyway, and that's just the scratch in the surface there. So in America, capital punishment, also known as the death penalty, is a state-sanctioned practice of killing a person as a punishment for a crime. The sentence ordered that an offender is to be punished in such a manner is known as a death sentence. And the act of carrying out the sentence is known as an execution. So just to get a few terms there, and you know what, the United States has been putting people to death as long as it's been a country. And even before the United States was formed in the 1700s, there was still the death penalty before that. And you know what, sodomy was part of that death penalty sentence. So right now in this country, there's a moratorium on the death penalty in several states. Washington State in 2017, I believe, outlawed and abolished the death penalty, period. So that's just like saying, hey, pick me, and then all these offenders are going to come out, and they know they're not going to get sentenced to death, so they're just going to not be afraid to commit crimes. And honestly, in other states where the death penalty does exist, they're not really enforcing it that much, or they're not doing it as much, or either we're just not hearing it as much. Thank God that some guy in Tucson got put to death just recently who was a child molester. But, you know, he was on death row for like 40 years. 40 years. So it is an enterprise to put people in the prison system and make money off them. Corporations buy these prisons and run these prisons. And there's a whole other system. And I preached a sermon about that before, but I'm not preaching about that now. But, you know, they don't want to put them to death because they make a lot of money off of them while they're on death row for 40 years or whatever. But I'm glad that they did finally put them to death. It was by lethal injection. Hopefully it hurt. But you know what? Hell's going to hurt a lot worse for that man than the death penalty that he received. Now I want to define for you what murder is. Murder is the unlawful, premeditated killing of a human being by another. To kill means to unlawfully murder someone with premeditation. So now there's the killing that's bad, there's the killing that's good, okay? The killing that's good is putting capital punishment upon someone and them getting the death sentence and that sentence being carried out. I had you turn to Exodus chapter 20, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." So that's one of the Ten Commandments. You're not supposed to kill. That the punishment for killing someone is the death penalty. Let's look at Matthew chapter 19. Turn to Matthew chapter number 19. So I'm just trying to show you the difference between what the death penalty is. See, Jesus said there is a death penalty. People say, well, Jesus would never put anybody to death. Well, why did he quote that scripture then? It doesn't make sense, does it? Because, you know, further on in that chapter, I was listening and it said that the blind are leading the blind. That's what's happening in this country right now, where you have a lot of blind shepherds and dumb dogs that can't bark are pastoring or leading groups of people and so-called Christians, and they're not teaching them correctly. And you know what? They're blind. They're leading people that are blind, and they're all falling in the ditch. But you know what? We got to rest our head on what the Bible says at the end of the day and go by what it says, not by what pop culture says, not by what the political atmosphere is at the time, but what the Bible says. And you know what? The Bible is not outdated. These laws and these punishments still apply today. Amen. So look at Matthew 19, verse 16. It says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder." So what is he quoting here? He's quoting Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, excuse me, and where it says, "Thou shalt not kill." So what's Jesus' interpretation of that is that kill that it's talking about there, that is called murder. Okay? So people will throw this in our face out in public. Doesn't the Bible say, "Thou shalt not kill"? It's like, yeah, but that's talking about murder. When you're talking about a capital punishment for a capital crime, putting someone to death for a crime that they've committed, that's not murder. That is a judgment against that person for committing something that is a capital crime. And again, I realize that this country doesn't have in place all the things that the Bible has in place. But just because that's true doesn't mean that we should not preach what the Bible says is right and true. It also says, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a capital punishment offense. Thou shalt not steal, not a capital punishment offense. Thou shalt not bear false witness, also not capital punishment. So not every moral sin in the Bible carries the death penalty. But murder is a capital crime. So turn over to Numbers chapter 35, verse number 11. Numbers 35, verse number 11. We are going to go through a lot of scripture today. And I'm going to try to preach fast because I've been known to preach a little bit long sometimes. So I'll try not to hold you hostage here, have a hostage situation take place today. But look at Numbers chapter 35, verse number 11. The Bible says, then he shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not, until he stand before the congregation in judgment. So we don't even believe, as Bible-believing Christians, or you shouldn't believe, that someone should just take the law into their own hands in a situation, that there's supposed to be a trial. There's supposed to be judgment that's passed forth by the judges. If someone murders somebody, there should be evidence, there should be witnesses. See, we don't just believe that we just get to randomly go around killing people because we know they've broken God's law. There still is a process that must take place. The Bible's explaining that right here, that he must stand before the congregation. He's not to die until then. So if it was like manslaughter or something, they would not be put to death. They would have to stay in that refuge city until the death of the high priest, okay? So now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse number 11. So even if the sodomy law got put back into place and there was the death penalty for sodomites, there would still have to be witnesses. There would still have to be judgment. We've never taught nor ever will teach that we're supposed to have any kind of justice done by Christians or even just randos on the street. We're not supposed to just take the law into our own hands. Look at Deuteronomy 19:11. It says, but if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of the city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. So what is the Bible saying here? If someone hates his neighbor, if someone lies in wait against his neighbor and rises up against him and smite him mortally that he die, and fleeth into one of these cities, that the elders are supposed to send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that what? He may die. That's what the Bible says, right? And thine eye shall not pity him. You remember when Pastor Menace says, you know, am I sad that a bunch of sodomites got killed? No, I think it's great, right? So he's just saying that his eye is not going to pity someone that gets the death sentence. And obviously that wasn't what that was. But still, if someone, you know, there was a guy that was a Planned Parenthood, worked at Planned Parenthood or some abortion clinic, and his name was George Tiller. They called him George Tiller, the baby killer. And he said that he had he didn't say he murdered them, that he performed over 1 million abortions. 1 million! Okay? He was in church serving as like a deacon or an usher or something, and someone went into the church. Someone actually went to that church, I think, and got up and shot him right in the middle of the church service and killed him. And, you know, of course, the left mainstream media, they are all freaked out about it and stuff. You know, do I think that it was the right thing to do? It wasn't right for that person to do that. But here's the thing. I don't pity that person that got killed. I'm not going to blame. You know, God can deal with that person as he sees fit. But look, the person that died, did he deserve to die? Yeah. He deserved to die. But, you know, there's a difference between, you know, us saying, hey, go do this, and then being like, oh, okay, well, some person that murdered 1 million babies died. Oh, am I supposed to be sad about that? You know, pray that he got saved right before the bullet went through his head. That's so stupid. That's what Christians will say on Facebook, though, won't they? So Bible capital punishment, I just Googled this term just to see what Google would say, okay? And of course, they're wrong about some of the stuff in here, but I'm just going to read what they say. And some of the stuff is right. But according to Google, and I don't know what website, I just kind of copy and pasted this, right, the first thing I saw here. It says, sins that were punishable by death include homicide, which is murder, right? Striking one's parents, smiting your parents. Kidnapping, that's correct. Cursing one's parents, we already saw that. Witchcraft and divination, correct. Bestiality, yep. Worshiping other gods, yes. Violating the Sabbath, yes, but not anymore. Child sacrifice, absolutely. Adultery, incest, yes. And then it says, male homosexual sodomy. I put the sodomy in there because it said something different. I didn't want to say that word. So, male homosexual sodomy. And it says in brackets here, there is no biblical legal punishment for lesbians. Really? Oh, really? But before I go into the verses that say that that's not true, because it's not true, because, you know, maybe it doesn't say it in Leviticus 20:13, but any sodomite should be put to death, right? So blasphemy is another one that they forgot. And then being a false prophet is another one. Rape, you know, here's another one that they'll say, well, the Bible teaches that people that women are raped are supposed to marry their rapist. No, that's not what it teaches. And I'll show you that here in just a minute, but let's look over at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. So is it true? Is Google right? Or whatever website this came off of? It's not right. They're saying that it's just only the male homos were supposed to be put to death. Okay, that's not true. So look what it says in Romans 1:24. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So God gave them up. Of course, we know that. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. It doesn't say love is love. It says vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So what is the Apostle Paul saying? He's saying, yeah, the women too, right? And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or fitting. That's AIDS, monkeypox, you know, all that stuff, right? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That means their mind is rejected. They've gone out of the bounds of normality. They've gone against nature. And God just said, you know what? I'm done with you. I'm finished with you. And they can no longer be redeemed or saved. So it says a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now skip down to verse number 32. Of course, we know they're filled with all manner of wickedness. But it also says in verse 32, remember that little article thing said that there's no death penalty for punishment or for the punishment of lesbians? Look what it says in verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are what? What's it say? Worthy of death. That's New Testament, right? That's not, you know, Jesus, you know, technically when he said that, he was still in the Old Testament, but it's still considered the New Testament, right? It says, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So is it true that there's no legal punishment for lesbians in the Bible? Not according to Romans chapter 1. So, you know, and this is the thing, is these freaks always try to get like it to be normal and show women doing these things, right? And they try to like get guys interested in these weird relationships or whatever. But like even that Buzz Lightyear movie that just came out, I think it's two women that like kiss or something in the film. So they haven't gone full retard yet in some of these children's films, but I mean, Nickelodeon showing like transvestites, that's what they're really called, transvestites, parades and all kinds of weird stuff. look, they're reading to people's kids across America. You know, we live in a real sick world now. We live in a world where, you know, at Steadfast, there's women actually literally taking their whole tops off and just being in front of children, vexing their eyeballs, and all this other stuff. And then, you know, but imagine if a man in this church went to a park and took all of his clothes off. What would happen to that guy? He goes straight to jail, and rightly so. So why are these sodomites able to do all these things? Because they basically have just they just allow them to do whatever they want now. They can protest a church even though they're not supposed to be in the parking lot. They won't trespass them. They're doing all these wicked things. But, you know, I just want to show you that in the Bible, that Romans chapter 1 says lesbians also are worthy of death, okay? So don't just get this idea it's just men. That's not true, but that's how they're trying to paint the picture, aren't they? That it's still kind of normal. That's not as bad. And I'll agree, to me, it's more disgusting that a man would do that, but it's still equally disgusting. It's still equally disgusting, right? So in God's eyes, at least, it's still the death penalty. So, but here, we got to understand this also, that all sin is punishable by death by God. So God could literally kill you for any sin that you do because he's God and he has that right to do that. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Ghost. They kept back part of the money and then God killed them for lying, killed them for saying that they were going to give something they didn't give. And so God can just do those things. God can kill someone for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. God can kill someone for various things. So, you know, just because it's not the death penalty by the government, it still could be a death penalty to God. Because ultimately, if you just sin one time as a liar, you're still going to die and go to hell, which is the second death, right? So a lot of people say, well, you guys are just teaching all this stuff, and there's a church and state separation for a reason. So, but I'll just say this, that I think morality transcends this idea. You know, we had the Roe versus Wade thing get overturned, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes, but, you know, I believe that I'm most political when it comes to morality in this world. If they're legislating morality, see, 50 years ago, they legislated murder for innocent and unborn children, which is wicked as hell, right? And so all these years, babies have been murdered by their mothers, and they're just like, it's a choice. It's my body, my choice. But they don't want to talk about that when it comes to the vaccines now, do they? But anyway, they're a bunch of hypocrites. That's why, because they just are filled with hypocrisy about everything. But, you know, just think about this for a second. It was ruled by the Supreme Court, who should be judging by morality also, not just the piece of paper that they think is, you know, inspired or something. That I actually heard that on CNN this morning, that it's inspired, that the Constitution's inspired. Anyway, wow. But so basically I believe that morality transcends the church and state separation, and morality is a different thing. So when you got criminal activities happening, you know, and they're being legislated from the bench that it's okay for queers and sodomites to not only live, but also to get married, right? And that people are freaking out right now. I think it's actually pretty funny. All these liberals are just crying their liberal tears all over. Oh, now they're going to come after the marriages. Now they're going to come. Good, I hope they do come after the marriages. Good, I hope they do come after all this stuff. I hope that we can be kind of in a little bit more of a normal world. And they're talking about, like, so there's 8 states today. I said I was going to talk about this later, but I'll talk about it now. Anyway, there's 8 states today that abortion is illegal in. Amen. And there's, I wrote it down on here somewhere. I think it's like 26 states or 24 states or something by the next couple weeks are going to be this way. And I think only like 16 states are going to be like the, you know, we really want to kill our babies still, yeah! You know, these people. These people are psychopaths. They're going, in my hometown, they, you know, had the night of rage, of course, because that's just what Portland is, right? A place where people just, you know, it's raining, let's have a parade, let's destroy the town because it's raining. Well, that's every day, right? So they just want to rage about anything. But right now, they're very upset. They're destroying. I think they're doing graffiti, and it's probably going to ramp up with all the stuff with churches because they're really angry about it. But I just think it's funny. You know, I wore my Donald Trump suit today so that, you know, I'm just kidding. This is political as I get when it comes to morality. I mean, obviously, Democrat, Republican, like whatever. It's, you know, the illusion of choice. But I do applaud, and I'm glad that abortion has been, the Roe versus Wade has been overturned. So, but anyway, people will say there's a church and state separation. I agree with that somewhat, but you know, I agree that our country is based upon that to a certain extent, but it's not even in the Constitution. They always say, it's in the Constitution. No, it's not. It's never been in the Constitution. It was a letter from Thomas Jefferson to some Baptist preacher. But anyway, that's a completely off-topic thing. But it's, you know, this is referenced by people that proclaim that we're wrong according to man's laws being separated from God's laws. But see, it's, murder is a capital crime in this country still. Guess what? It's still a crime in the Bible too. So, you know, when morality comes into play, that's when I get political. And, you know, they're legislating death from the bench. I mean, just imagine that. We lived in this for 50 years, but now they're legislating that it's not okay, and people are freaking out about it. They're like, it's a woman's right to choose. That's not your body, okay? It's not your body. The other body is another body inside of your belly that's a baby. That's not your body. I mean, it's like you got to draw them a picture. Now, these people always say they believe in science and everything, but they, you know, we, in this country, we believe in, we, love is love. And then they, right after that, we believe science is real. Oh, really? Is it your body or is it the baby's body that you're trying to kill? It's the baby's body. So you don't believe in science because you're a moron. They only want to believe in science when it comes to us being related to chimpanzees and all this other stuff, right? Or that, you know, love is love. But what they don't realize is that every study that's been done on homosexuality shows that they were not born that way. But they don't want to believe that science now, do they? So that's when they want to have faith or whatever. So anyway, people just say, well, we're wrong. We shouldn't be talking about this stuff because the Bible's outdated and the death penalty is, you know, is what the laws of the land make it. And it is true to a certain extent because even in Jesus' time, the Jews were not allowed to put people to death because they were under the rule of the Romans government. So, but Jesus still believed in the death penalty. He still taught the death penalty. He still dealt with the woman that was caught in adultery. He said, whosoever is without sin, cast the first stone at her. So what did he say? Don't do it? No, he said, if you're without sin, go ahead and throw the first stone, right? But see, God is in a position where he can forgive those sins. He can spare those people. I don't think that someone that's a murderer, you know, can never be spared by God. Of course they could be spared by God. David committed murder and God pardoned him and spared him. You know, obviously he was punished for what he did, but he didn't have to be put to death. So God can veto these things when he wants to. So, but you know, I am speaking for myself and what I personally believe that the Bible says today. But I am kind of taking it upon myself a little bit today to let you know that what other pastors I know that they believe, okay, and they teach. So I want to read this. I want to be very clear about what I believe. I don't believe that I or other Christians that I preach to my congregation to or other congregations or anyone listening on the internet or any other facet should ever take the law into their own hands to make sure any capital crime is carried out. That's what I believe. And I believe that that's what the other pastors believe too. If I'm wrong about that, then I'm wrong about that, but I don't think so. Regardless of whether the government under which we live does its job or has such crimes on the books as a capital crime, I never have, nor will I ever preach that we as Christians, or any non-Christian for that matter, should ever do so. Is that clear? Does that make sense? Okay. Furthermore, if anyone was ever to act on their own in any capacity and say that it was my preaching or the preaching of my friends or any other pastor for that matter, that caused them to commit such an act is operating on their own, and I bear no ties to anyone that would ever do such a thing. Is that clear? Because what's going on today is that they're trying to connect us to anything and say, hey, your preaching is inciting violence. You're radicalizing people, and now they're going to go out and do these things. You know, but it's really weird. What's really funny, though, I was talking to Pastor Anderson the other day when he was at our church, and I was thinking he was still 15 years in the ministry, but he's almost 17 years in now. And as far as I know, and I'm pretty sure that I'm right about this, nobody that's ever been under the sound of his voice, even the reprobates that came to his church and got kicked out or whatever, have ever taken it upon themselves to hurt any homo or kill them. Nobody's ever been killed. Nobody's ever been killed under Pastor Jimenez's voice. Nobody's ever been killed by the preaching that we preach. So, and that makes me understand this, is that if we're a cult, you know, like everybody accuses us of being, right? Everybody says, oh, you guys are just a big cult, yeah. Well, if we're such a big cult, then how come our followers don't listen to what we're saying? If that's what we're really teaching. You know what I'm saying? Like, how come in 17 years of Pastor Anderson being a cult leader, how come nobody's ever killed a sodomite before? You know why? Because that's not what he's preaching. That's not what I'm preaching. That's not what Pastor Jimenez is preaching. That's not what Pastor Shelley's preaching. And they're just trying to make up lies and throw crap to the wall and see if it sticks. That's what's really going on. And there's like a real push right now to try to tie us to people that have gone over the border on some things. But I will not have, nor ever will act as an agent of any type of terror or terrorist group that would seek to supersede the government in any way, shape, or form. And furthermore, anybody that's saying that I'm doing that is a stinking liar. Okay? So when I say that it's the government's job to put people to death, regardless of what the capital crime is, I'm saying, and I read my lips, I'm saying that it's the government's job to do this. It's not our job. It's not y'all's job. It's not the, you know, the not even the non-Christian, the other Christian going to another church. It's not our job to do that. It's the government's job. We understand this. But we are simply teaching what the Bible says, right? Amen. 31 people were caught supposedly in a U-Haul trying to do who knows what to a pride parade in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. This is being tied to Steadfast through a TikTok video that's gone mega viral. The last I heard it has 5 million views. Whoever's making this connection is making it up and lying. No, nobody in that U-Haul that got caught. First of all, what a dumb way to go and try to break up a pride parade. Like, who rides in the back of a U-Haul to do anything? You know, most guys, you know, like, well, yeah, I'll drive my own vehicle. You know, it's like, I'm going to drive, right? So why would 31 dudes who look like federal agents jump into the back of a U-Haul truck? And, I mean, what were they going to do? Cause a little chaos or something? I don't know. But they're all arrested and said that they were, now, they're tying this to Steadfast. They have no connection with Steadfast whatsoever. But yet, when people will lie and just keep repeating these lies, then people will actually believe it. And like, people reached out to Pastor Shelley and were like, hey, is this true? I don't want to say it if it's not true. And, you know, obviously, no person in that U-Haul ever visited Steadfast Baptist Church in any way, shape, or form. But this is what I'm talking about. This is the new way that they're trying to come at us. How are they going to take us down now? Well, here's another new way. Tie us to some kind of terror crime. Tie us to say that we're inciting violence and that we're radicalizing people to hurt other people. That's just a lie and simply not true. Now, let me move on with the sermon here. Ted Bundy. Who's ever heard of Ted Bundy before? Okay? Really wicked, evil, serial rapist and murderer. And I remember my mom told me this story. She used to work at a place called Reeser's. I don't know if you ever heard of Reeser's. They sell burritos and you know, whatever. It's like microwavable stuff or whatever. Anyway, she was working there, and the day that Ted Bundy was being electrocuted and they did the time, the ticking, you know, the countdown, they put a burrito in the microwave, turned it on, and counted it down to the same thing, and when it went ding, they were like, "Fry, you sucker!" That's just normal people. When someone's so evil and wicked, you know, the people are going to shout and cheer when someone that deserves the death penalty dies because of all the atrocities that they've committed. I just, you know, my mom was there participating. She's not exactly a fundamentalist Baptist. So now here, I'm going to go way back here on this one. I'm going to tell a little story here. And who's ever heard of the Lindbergh baby kidnapping? The Lindbergh baby kidnapping. Okay. I don't want to go too deep into it, but basically Charles Lindbergh was like a very famous pilot. And on May 12th, 1932, the body of the kidnapped baby, so some guys broke into his house at 9 o'clock at night, stole the baby, put all these ransom notes out. There was like 7 ransom notes, and they were saying they wanted 50,000, and they were saying they want 100,000. And I'll just read to you when they found the baby, because I think they paid the ransom. I'm pretty sure they paid the ransom, and they killed his baby anyway. Okay, so they kidnapped him, which is wicked, and then extorted them for money, and then committed murder. So on May 12, 1932, the body of the kidnapped baby was accidentally found, partially buried, badly decomposed, about 4.5 miles southeast of the Lindbergh home, 45 feet from the highway. Near Mount Rose, New Jersey, in Mercer County, the discovery was made by William Allen, an assistant on a truck driven by Orville Wilson. The head was crushed. There was a hole in the skull, and some of the body members were missing. The body was positively identified and cremated at Trenton, New Jersey, May 13, 1932. The coroner's examination showed that the child had been dead for about 2 months, and the death was caused by a blow to the head. So these wicked, evil animals broke in and stole this, you know, they didn't even have the decency to just get the money and give the baby back. They murdered the child, you know, they put these people through a living hell. On February 13th, 1935, the jury returned a verdict. They caught one of the guys, and it says Hopman, which was his name, was guilty of murder in the first degree. The sentence, death. The defense appealed. The Supreme Court of the state of New Jersey on October 9th, 1935 upheld the verdict of the lower court. Hopman's appeal was to the Supreme Court of the United States was denied on December 9th, 1935, and he was to be electrocuted on January 17th, 1936. However, on the same day, the governor of the state of New Jersey granted a 30-day reprieve, and on February 17th, 1936, Hopman was resentenced to be electrocuted during the week of March 30th, 1936. On March 30th, 1936, the pardon court of the state of New Jersey denied Hopman's petition for clemency, and on April 3rd, 1936, at 8:47 p.m., Bruno Richard Hopman was electrocuted. So praise God, they actually did what was right back then for this guy that murdered this child, kidnapped this child, and, you know, extorted this family for money. And, you know, this state, New Jersey, I'm pretty sure doesn't even have the death penalty anymore. You know, and it's a shame, because terrible things like this happen all the time. Maybe not exactly as high profile as this particular case was. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 21 real quick, though. I just want to go over some more of the death penalty situations that happen in the Bible, but it really ties to this specific crime right here. Exodus chapter 21, verse 12, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely be put to death. They broke that one, right? And if any man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whether he shall flee. So this is talking about an accidental deaths, manslaughter, things like that. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. What does the Bible say should happen to people that kidnap other people? They should be surely put to death. If you sell them, surely put to death. Here's another accusation we get. Oh, yeah, you guys condone slavery and all this other stuff. It's like, what does this say right here? If you kidnap somebody and sell them as a slave, you should be put to death. That's what the Bible says, right? And he that curseth his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Here's the one that Jesus is quoting right here. So look, the Bible teaches the death penalty. There is a difference between murder and the death penalty. A murderer is someone that actually premeditates it, or, you know, they lie in wait, they hate that person, they want to murder that person, and they do it. The Bible says that person shall surely be put to death. If you steal or kidnap somebody, you shall surely be put to death, and so on and so forth. Now, Lincoln, President Lincoln, was assassinated while he was at a play. On July 7th, 1865, four convicted conspirators, including boarding house owner Mary E. Surratt, were hanged in the courtyard of what is now Fort Leslie J. McNair for their roles in the assassination of President Lincoln on July 7th, 1865. After months of drama, four people faced the gallows. What did they do to someone that murdered the President of the United States? They hanged all of them until they were dead. What does the Bible say about rape and child molestation? Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 25. I realize this isn't a very pleasant topic. I'll try to make my evening service a little different. But this is stuff we got to know, folks. And hey, we got to be able to answer people. And it's important that people understand where we stand on these things. What does the Bible say about rape? You know, these idiots that will say, hey, you have to marry the rapist. No, that's not what the Bible says. Look at Deuteronomy 22, verse 25. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field and a man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lie with her shall, what's it say? Die. What's supposed to happen to someone that rapes somebody else? They're supposed to die. Whether they're a child or a woman or whatever it is, a man, that person should die. Right? But it says, unto the damsel, thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. So does that what to say, that she's supposed to marry him? How do you marry somebody that's dead? I mean, that'd be weird, right? So that's not what the Bible teaches. It says, for he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. She was not able to. And this applies. Look, the Bible doesn't have to tell us every single scenario that would happen in a rape. It could be children. It could be a man. You know, men get raped too. You know, in prison and just in general. I mean, there's these sodomites. You know, Jesse Lee Peterson. Let's just talk about that for a second. This freak that talked to Pastor Anderson, he was like, do you sin? Do you sin? It's like, you sin, you idiot. You're a sodomite. Right. You're a freak of nature. This guy was like taking advantage of his ministry and just doing all kinds of weird. I saw this documentary that I wish I could unsee yesterday about him. It's just like, good night. This guy was a predator. He was a straight up predator. And he's asking, have you ever looked at a woman before? It's like, yeah, have you? You freak. Anyway, let's look at Mark 9:42. What's the Bible say should happen to someone that offends a child? You know, when you're a child molester or a child rapist, or you just even try to turn a child away from the faith. I mean, the Bible has a very, Jesus said what this person should do. It says in Mark 9:42, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Now, I mean, just if you picture the visual on this, you're on the dock. You know, there's this giant rock tied around your neck and someone just goes psh, and throws it in. What's going to happen? You're going to dive to the bottom of the sea and then you're going to blow up. Because, I mean, let's put them in the what is that sea that's outside of Japan, the deepest? Anybody know the name of it? Huh? The Mariana Trench? Is that what it's called? They put them in that one. I mean, there's not going to be much left. It's like what Alka-Seltzer does to a seagull, you know? The person's going to blow up and die. And look, Jesus said, it'd be better for you to do that than to be an offender of little ones. I mean, even if you're going to die and go to hell, it shouldn't be with this sin on your account. Because as bad as that is, hell is that much worse for that person. And it's eternal. It's eternal. Turn to Luke chapter 17, verse number 1. Luke chapter 17, verse number 1. Is that okay? I got time. Luke chapter 17, verse number 1. This is just another way that Jesus said it in Luke chapter 17, verse number 1. It says, "Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come." So, yeah, offenses are going to happen. People are going to be offending people, and all these things happen. But woe unto that person. That means that some bad things are going to be happening to that person. It says, "It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he be cast into the sea, and then he should offend one of these little ones." So what does God feel about? How does God feel about someone that offends children? He says, "Hey, it's better for them to be drowned in the depths of the sea with a stone tied around their neck than to face God on judgment day having this sin on your account." And there's multitudes of children being molested in this world, and God, you know, is not going to spare in his wrath when it comes to judging these people. Yeah. It's a very stern warning on someone that would do something like that. And look, if you do something like that, you're just a reprobate. Right. But if you're a reprobate and you're thinking about doing that thing, it's better to kill yourself than it is to offend a child. Because if you even think something weird like that, there's something wrong with you, folks. There's something wrong with the people that would believe that garbage. Now, child murder and sacrifice, I'm going to cover that. I mean, these are just really uplifting topics. I understand that. But I'm going to cover it anyway. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 1. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 1. I said I was watching CNN. I'm sorry for the sin of committing that. I just wanted to see what was being said. And instead of just like the people that are more on your side, I like to hear what the weirdos are saying about everything. And they're just like so upset. They're really crying some liberal tears. They're filling up swimming pools with their tears right now. But this lady, she was being interviewed by one of the CNN anchors just like on the street or whatever. This is yesterday. And she said, "We should be able to kill our baby if we want to go to college." Wow. She said, "Baby." What does that mean? That means that this woman thinks that just abortion on demand, no matter what you want to do it for, is A-okay. Yeah. Hey, I got to go to college. What, you can't go to college with a baby? I'm sure people do it. Yeah. It's just they want to be selfish whores and not do what's right by their child. And so because the law was enacted so that people could actually murder their own children in some states, even really close to the due date, you know, they're saying that we're attacking women's health care. That's not health care, folks. That's death care. It's death care. They're taking care through death, something that they don't want. Well, close your legs, lady, and you won't have that problem. Don't play the whore in your father's house and you won't have to worry about it. But listen to me. Isn't that premeditated? Don't people have to think about that? So what does the Bible say should happen to someone that premeditates someone else's death? So, like, I had some idiot on Twitter, you know, Twitter. I was in a Twitter beef, sorry. I'm confessing my faults. I actually just posted this picture where the babies are like doing this over the grave of death, the death of Roe versus Wade. And this guy got in there and he was just like, he's like, "What about the woman that dies trying to have an abortion?" I'm like, you know, you reap what you sow.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're trying to murder your baby because now you don't have the health care, you know, you don't have a surgeon to come and crush the baby's skull in their womb and suck them out with a vacuum cleaner. Yeah. That's what they do. Super wicked. It's not some just painless process. Women die from it. They have permanent problems with themselves. But if they're premeditatedly killing their baby and now they don't have access to health care for women, or death care for women, they don't have that access anymore, so they're going to just do it by other means. If they accidentally die doing that, well, guess what? They got what they deserved.
Right.
I'm not going to shed a tear for them. Not one tear. Not one conservative tear is being cried out of my eyeball. Look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Again, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth the children of it, or the given any of his seed, unto Molech, he shall surely be," what? "Put to death." So if you take your child that's already born and sacrifice them to a god, a false god, which is a devil, then the Bible says that you're supposed to get the death penalty. "The people of the land shall stone him with stones." That's what God says. The order is to stone them with stones. Isn't that what it says? That's a pretty brutal way to die. I mean, especially if you're not getting hit in the face or whatever. I mean, you're getting hit in the ankle bone and the shin bone and just all. I mean, they're probably just pelting you in all areas. I'm sure they're not like David versus Goliath hitting you with one, killing you with one stone on the first hit. So it's a pretty brutal way to die. But you know what else is a pretty brutal way to die? To take a baby that can't even fight for their own selves and sticking them in a fire and burning them up as a sacrifice. A child that's never done anything wrong, child that's just trying to survive, you know, and people are trying to attack them in the easiest place that they feel they can in a mother's womb, the place that they should feel the most safe. Look at verse 3. "And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among the people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people." So even the people that would hide their eyes of something this horrific, God says, you know what? I'm not only going to just do something to him, I'm going to do something to you. I'm going to hold you accountable for not putting that person to death. You see, the death penalty is something God commands. Okay? And if you put your child to death, it should be the death penalty. But do you think that in these states where they go, you know, now they're talking about all these plans, how they're going to pick, you know, people up and take them to different states or whatever, and what are they going to do about that? And that's all going to be a big fight or whatever. Women are still going to get abortions. And let's just call it what it really is, murder, child murder. Child murderers. You know, with the Lindbergh baby, was killed and murdered by somebody, and then they put those people to death. Why would you not put someone to death that premeditates the murder of their own child in their womb? But it's not going to happen. But you know what? God is not going to turn his face away from those that approve of it also. Because there might be people like, you know, I mean, all these people that are so brazen about abortion and not being able to murder their children anymore. Well, I'm glad that their parents didn't do it for them. Or they should be glad. I'm not glad, actually, if they're wanting that to be the case. But these people, they're so brain defiled and so crazy. I mean, obviously, when you get done with church, if you have a chance, look at some of the meltdowns that you see. They're pretty funny, of the people that are just whining about it. But anyway, I'm sorry. I got to get moving on here. So, but you know what? Roe versus Wade being overturned is something to celebrate about. It really is. And you know what? We should make a big deal about it, because it is a big deal. And we should be behind, you know, anybody that is against, you know, I want to be behind what the Supreme Court ruled on. I mean, for once they got something right. I can't believe it. But I'm happy. I'm happy about it. So, but planned death, you know, they have Planned Parenthood. It should just be called planned death, because that's what it is. And it should be punishable by death. It's premeditated murder. And anybody that does that, they've reaped what they've sown. Let's look at sodomy real quick. Leviticus chapter 20 and 13. I think you're already there in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Now, of course, we've heard a lot of preaching about this, obviously. But I want to bring it up anyway. All right, sodomy. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. The Bible says it's a death penalty situation. America used to have it as a death penalty. Other countries around the world that weren't even necessarily Christian thought it was weird. Russians hate sodomites. They won't even let them have a pride parade there. The cops just go beat up the protesters. I mean, If they just were open to the gospel, I mean, Russia would be like the Mecca for us or something. But anyway. But you know what? Russia put a moratorium on the death penalty. I just found that out. That's weird. Anyway, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, the Bible says, if a man lie with mankind as he lie with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So we know that verse, and you know, a lot of times we'll say, well, stone them with stones. Well, would that make blood be upon them? It would, but it doesn't say they have to be stoned with stones, does it? Does it say they have to be hanged? No, it does say that their blood shall be upon them, though. So if you shot them in modern, they didn't have guns back then, but modern day they do have guns now. And so really, in all honesty, that's probably the most humane way to put somebody to death and have their blood be upon them, right? But, you know, there's these forces of evil out there, these people, even within our own government, that are saying, you know, that we're preaching that capital crimes is inciting violence. So when we preach about capital crimes, it's inciting violence, and it's not inciting violence. I want to give you some definitions here real quick. Inciting, encourage to or stir up violent or unlawful behavior. That's what incite means. I'm not encouraging that. I'm just saying what the Bible says. The second definition, urge or persuade someone to act in a violent or unlawful way. So that's your saying, go out and kill them. This is what they deserve. You go kill them. That's inciting violence. That's not what we teach. Okay, but isn't it funny how when Roe versus Wade got overturned, that what are they calling for? If women's health care is not safe, then neither are you. Is that a threat of violence?
Yeah.
You better know it is. It is a threat to violence, and all this violence is happening. Why is it happening? Someone's inciting them to violence. When all these Black Lives Matter protests happened, our own government officials were saying, go out and do whatever you want. And then nothing was happening to them. And people couldn't even protect their own property. I mean, they tried to put Kyle Rittenhouse in prison for the rest of his life. And, you know, obviously, maybe he shouldn't have been there. You're 17 years old. I mean, I don't know if I'd want my kid going out with an AR-15 at 17 years old. But, you know, he did. And he protected himself. And it was proven. But my point is that who's really inciting violence? Because it's not me. It's not my pastor friends. It's not all y'all. I hope not. We're nonviolent. I got interviewed by a guy, by a reporter the other day, and I just said, hey, we're nonviolent. You know, we're not racist. We're not violent, and we're not telling people to go do these things. But people are trying to rally to get the FBI and law enforcement to throw us in jail for doing these things, for inciting violence, even though that's not what we're doing. And what we're preaching is straight from the Bible and can't be any clearer. And some of these are actually laws that are in the books in our own countries. I mean, in several countries. But, you know, we're constantly being accused of being cult leaders. I already kind of brought that up and brought up the fact that over all the years that we've all been preaching, nobody's ever been hurt. You know, show me on this doll where Pastor Anderson, you know, tried to commit violence on you or whatever. We've never tried to commit violence on anybody. We've never said to do that, but yet that's the angle that they're going with. They're trying to connect us with people like Pastor Shelley being connected with these 31 skinheads or whatever that got caught in Idaho. But they're also trying to connect Pastor Jones. They're also trying to connect Brother Dylan, which is my son-in-law. And so they're saying that we're calling for the death of sodomites. We're calling for it. Is that what we're doing? We're calling for it? No. We're calling for the government to do their job, which they never will. So we don't have to, you know, but that's not, we're not calling for them. And they say, you're calling for the murders. That's how what they always say in like the hit pieces that they do on us. You're calling for the murders. Didn't I already define what murder is? Didn't I already define what the death penalty is? Okay, so we're not calling for the murder of anybody. You're calling for the genocide of a whole people. Look, fags isn't a people. I know they want to put the brown and the black on there to, you know, whatever, to include themselves, and whatever. Look, the rainbow flag represents pride, doesn't it? It represents what people want to do in their own bedrooms or whatever. But not only, here, they're so sick that once they get what they want, what do? They go out and dance and put on all these crazy costumes. I saw this video where this lady is trying to turn her child, you know, toward these perverts. These pervert guys are dancing and whatever with their banana hammocks on or whatever. And they got, this child is just crying and trying to turn away. And she's like forcing him to turn and look. I don't know if that was his mom. All these sodomites are adopting people. It's disgusting. But it's not genocide. What is genocide? Well, that's, according to the UN, the definition contained in Article 2 of the Convention, the Geneva Convention, describes genocide as a crime committed with the intent to destroy a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group. Does it say fags there? No, it doesn't. It doesn't say groups of perverts. So genocide is like if it, whatever the ethnic group or a race. We don't believe in races here, but whatever. But that's not genocide. You're calling for genocide! You don't even know what you're talking about. You sound like an idiot. They don't understand science. They don't understand the law. They don't understand the Bible. They think that they know it better than we do. Here's the other thing they say. And the first time I heard this was just recently when some TikTok video was about Pastor Jones, and this lady was like, he's calling for people to be unalived! I'm like, unalived? Like, is that a thing? Apparently, it is a thing. But what does unalive mean? To kill or murder somebody. But it's basically, it's newspeak. It's like 1984, straight out of George Orwell's book. You know, there's certain things that they're allowing us to say and certain things that they're not allowing us to say. And apparently, saying murder or death or anything like that is not allowed on social media, and they're trying to stop people from saying it. So instead, they say, unalived! Well, I mean, it just doesn't have the same hit as like murder, does it? It doesn't have the same hit, does it? But it just sounds idiotic. And she said it like 17 times in the video or something. They're calling for the unaliving of people. But we're not calling for the genocide. We're not calling for the murder. We're not calling for the unaliving of people through any means that is through us. You know, and I'm confident that the other pastors I'm friends with believe the same thing. So I just want to kind of finish off with some things that some people have said recently and some in the past. And I want to just kind of break it down real quick for you. And I know we're running out of time here, but I'll try to be quick here. Brother Dylan, the man, the Vancouver villain is what we call him. Dylan, the Vancouver villain, whitest preacher in the movement, said, these people should be put to death. Every single homosexual in this county, or excuse me, in this country, should be charged with the crime, the abomination. See, what do you say? Charged with the crime. The abomination of homosexuality that they have. They should be convicted in a lawful trial. They should be sentenced to death. They should be lined up against the wall and shot in the back of the head. See, that's the part that everybody freaks out about. Right. But what's the Bible say? Their blood shall be upon them. Amen. So I know that that sound, that is what the sound bite that people took a hold of and they freaked out. But what did he say before? See, they don't concentrate on the whole context of what he said, that they should be charged with the crime. It's an abomination. The abomination of homosexuality is the crime. Convicted in a lawful trial. Witnesses brought forth, so on and so forth. And then sentenced to death. Why? Because it's a capital crime. That's why. So he wasn't saying that we should do it or anybody else should. He's saying that it should be taken care of by the government. Pastor Jimenez said in 2016. And when he got done preaching the sermon, he was like, yeah, do you think that, you know, it's going to be a big deal what I preach? And then like all of a sudden, whoosh, everything just broke loose on him. Pastor Jimenez said, people say, well, aren't you sad that 50 sodomites died? Here's the problem with that. It's like the equivalent of asking me, well, aren't you sad that 50 pedophiles were killed today? Pastor Jimenez said, no, I think it's great. I think that helps society. I think that Orlando, Florida is a little safer tonight. Yeah,
that's right.
And people freaked out about this next part. Well, not this part, but yeah. Anyway, I'm kind of, so here's what else he says. I'm kind of upset that he didn't finish the job because these people are predators. Jimenez said, I got this from the bad guys, okay? They are abusers. They take advantage of people. That's what we say all the time. I don't regret, and then when they came to make him apologize, he said this, I don't regret anything that I said, and I don't take back anything that I said. Jimenez said, I do think that most people out there have not listened to the sermon in its context and are basically just taking what the media is portraying, and the media, for the most part, is just flat out lying. And look, they haven't stopped lying. They're still lying, and now they're just trying to come at it with different angles. During the interview, Jimenez quoted a couple of passages in the Bible that he says teach that these people deserve to die. The point that I was trying to make is if God puts the death penalty on it, God says they deserve to die, and they die. This is not something that we as Christians need to be mourning, Jimenez said, in the same way that this gunman who went in there and killed all these people, he violated Scripture. God says that he deserves to die for taking their lives. We don't need to be mourning his death either. But you know how much, how many of you heard that part of it? See, they don't want to really report that part of it. And obviously, this person was obviously being a little more literal with the media reports. But I mean, the media was just lying about all kinds of stuff. His church only has 40 people in it or whatever, or 50 people. And there was like over 200 people. They just want to lie. The article, I gave this guy an interview. And the first, he says, a guy that frequents my church, you know, that he was trying to plan this Pride Parade attack or something. But what did I tell him in the interview? I said, he's visited our church twice. I wasn't like condemning the guy or anything. I don't know. You know, you're innocent until proven guilty in this country. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. But apparently that's not really how it works. So when you're against their agenda, then that's not how it's going to operate. But I don't want to leave Pastor Anderson out of this, so I'm going to put a quote up that he said. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them, Anderson said, quoting the biblical passage. And that, my friends, is the cure for AIDS, he said. It was right there in the Bible all along, and they're out spending billions of dollars in research and testing. It's curable right there. Because if you executed the homos like God recommends, you wouldn't have all this AIDS running rampant. So, of course, he got persecuted for that. And, you know, you've all seen the interview that he was done, the last interview he's ever done live, which is great. But look, but he's saying executed. He's, look, all these quotes I'm saying, these are things that we all say, yes, but we're talking about the government doing it. And they're saying that we're trying to plan and terrorize people, right? So I just want to warn people with this, okay? You can have whatever beliefs you want. But if you go past what the Bible says on this subject, then there are people out there that are turning in social media posts and getting trying to get people arrested, trying to get people put into prison. There's that person that has come to my church a couple times is sitting in jail right now. And they doctored the stuff that he said, and of course. So, but all I'm saying is that we have to be careful not to go overboard and go past what the Bible says. You understand what I'm saying? So we can't go past that teaching. And obviously, again, if something happens to them and they get killed, I'm not like going to cry about it or something. Oh, those poor sodomites. I mean, they should have been put to death already by the government. So why would I be upset about it? The Bible says, thine eye shall not pity them.
Yep. Amen.
What does that mean? Don't feel bad for them. When it, you know, but also don't, you know, dance on their grave or whatever, I guess. But, you know, here's just one thing I got to turn to Acts chapter 17. I got to finish with this. We're also being accused of being fascist white nationalists. Okay, I look around this room, and I don't see all white nationalists with shaved heads in here. Because this church has all nations representing it, all skin pigments. And guess what? If everybody gets cut today, what color is it going to be? It's going to be red.
Yeah.
Okay? We all bleed the same color because people are just people. The Bible does not even teach racism at all.
Yep.
Doesn't teach it. But we're being accused of being white, nationalist, I mean, fascists. We're being accused of being fascists. So this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I do want to just make sure that this is clear. This is something also that we get accused of all the time, being racist. But what's the Bible say? Acts 17:26, it says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." So one blood, all nations. That's what we believe. That's what we teach. That's what we've always taught. So don't try to pin that on us either. If someone's if someone happens to be racist that follows the preaching here, they're wrong on that issue. They weren't taught that from this church. They're not taught that at my church. So if someone is racist, that's their problem. It doesn't mean that they're not saved or something. It just means that they got something wrong with them. They got something wrong with their theology. And, you know, they just have, they have some kind of hate that they shouldn't have. Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. What does that mean? That we want every person from every nation, every ethnicity, every skin pigment to be saved in the whole world. Isn't that what it's saying? That they should seek the Lord and what? And find him. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we believe. There's no white national fascist pastors in this movement. Okay? And look, if you're that person, the Bible is condemning that. The Bible says that we should, you know, we should be happy that we're supposed to reach to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're supposed to go into all nations. So it doesn't teach racism at all. In fact, it's totally against it. So again, the difference between murder and lawful execution of a criminal or capital crimes is very clear in the Bible, is it not? And we should rest our beliefs on what the Bible says and you know that you're right no matter what they accuse you of. When it concerns the Bible's always right and the other person's wrong. So whatever we believe, we should be able to rest our head on it, not be embarrassed about it, but also don't go too far with it. Don't go past the bounds that the Bible puts in place for us. Keep those boundaries and then you're going to be safe. Okay, but once we go past that, then we're going to get ourselves into trouble. And we should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Look, we should be wise in this world and kind of have a little bit of circumspect wisdom as we walk through this world. But we also need to be, what does it mean to be harmless? Well, when's the last time you've seen an attack dove? Have you seen a dove fights? Have you seen doves swooping down and grabbing things and taking off of them? No, you haven't. You know why? Because doves are harmless. They just look around and go brrr or whatever. They fly away. They're harmless. The Bible is saying that we should be harmless. So we should not be violent towards other people. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for the clear teaching of the Bible. I pray that you would just help us, Lord, to walk and be in the boundaries of what the Bible says. Help us to not go further than we should with things. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us when it concerns this subject, to be educated on it, Lord. And I pray that you would just bless everybody as they go their separate ways and bring us back to church safely tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.